Hi, I'm Alessia from a small town in Kenya. Growing up, I was stubborn and also a happy kid. Even though my mom worked as a servant for the wealthy Chief Mwangi at his farm, I always felt like part of the family because of the chief's son, Barasa. He was my best friend, and he did almost everything with me. He helped me with chores and even stopped me from cleaning his room whenever I had to. It was fun, until his uppity father stopped him from hanging out with me.
Barasa, you're better than playing around with the servants. I want you to stay away from them from now on.
What Barasa's father said hurt me, and I knew it had something to do with the fact that Mum and I were poor. I became envious whenever I saw Barasa with his wealthy friends. So, one day, I devised a plan to change his opinion of me. All I needed were the same expensive items that his friends wore. I began to put a lot of pressure on Mum to get them for me.
Mum, I want that dress.
How about we go to the yard sale over there? They sure do have some nice clothes.
I hate them. They're ugly and cheap.
I knew our poor situation was none of Mom's fault. And later that evening, she surprised me, and I was so overjoyed.
Honey, I saved some money and got you those Louis Vuitton shoes you wanted.
Thank you so much, Mom.
I have no idea why you need all these things anyway. We can do without them.
I didn't tell her that I needed them because of Barasa. He had a swimming party that night, and I wanted to make the best impression possible. I was going to show everyone that I wasn't just a regular servant girl. When I walked into the party dressed in one of my mom's old fashionable gowns and the Louis Vuitton shoes, everyone turned to stare at me. They made me so nervous that my heels shook so badly and I fell into the pool. Barasa quickly jumped in to save me, and I couldn't help but admire his strength. He lifted me as if I weighed nothing.
What did you think you were doing, Alicia? This isn't your style.
If your dad hadn't said those mean things about me and my mom and ended my friendship with you, I wouldn't have been trying to prove him wrong.
I'm sorry about Dad. He's a little harsh sometimes, but you should know you're my best friend, Alicia. Nothing can change that.
Then why do you hang out with them instead of me?
I'm only doing it to trick my dad. Besides, you don't have to change anything about yourself to prove him wrong. I don't care what you look like.
The moonlight danced on Barasa's face, sharpening his features and making him more handsome. Suddenly, Mum walked in on us.
So, this is where you've been all along, and I've been looking for you everywhere.
Mum freaked out when she noticed my position in Barasa's arms. For some reason, she had never liked him much.
Do you want us to lose our jobs as servants, Alessia? His father warned you to stay away from him.
As soon as Mum was done yelling, dragged me away from the pool. I couldn't have been more embarrassed. Later that night, she sat me down and talked to me.
Honey, life isn't all about wealth, but how to stay fulfilled with whatever you have. I'm disappointed in your actions tonight.
When she finished, tears streamed down my cheeks and I hugged her.
I'm sorry for everything, Mum. I'll be better.
And I did become better. I did all my chores diligently while Barasa continued hanging out with me during moments his father couldn't see us. Our friendship grew stronger, transcending beyond rules set by our parents. A few years passed by and Mum fell ill. She was bedridden for weeks while I cared for her. Every day was filled with hopes for her recovery. And one particular day, she told me something that shocked me.
Honey, I think it's time we moved out of here into somewhere better. I want to give you the life you deserve.
I wasn't a fan of the idea. Moving out meant saying goodbye to Barasa and the horses I'd grown attached to. I needed some space to think. I left Mum alone and dashed to the stables where I found Barasa and told him everything.
I don't know if I want to leave you and everything behind yet.
Then don't. Don't let your mom take you away from the farm, Alicia. You can stay with me. I'll take care of you.
Barasa's words followed me for the rest of the day, and when night reached, I went back to Mum.
Mum, I don't think I'm ready to leave the farm yet.
But Alessia,
I think it'll be better if you let yourself heal here. The nature will give you more peace.
Fine. You've always been a stubborn child anyways.
I love you, Mum.
I love you too, baby girl. But there's another thing I need to tell you.
Mum grabbed my face and looked at me with an expression I had never seen on her face before. It was fear.
There are, some things you don't know about and don't need to know about yet.
What do you mean, Mum?
She ignored my question and continued like I hadn't said anything.
If anything should happen to me, there's a box of valuables buried next to the cherry tree in the farm. Take it and run away. Do you understand me, child?
I was speechless, so Mum shook my shoulders.
Do you understand me, Alessia?
No, Mum, and you're scaring me. What's happening?
You don't need to know, but you'll do what I say, right?
I mumbled out a small,
right,
and watched as her expression shifted to normal in milliseconds. It was scary.
Now, honey, come give Mummy another hug.
Mum felt strangely better the next morning and dashed to the market to get some dairy products. She put on shades and a wig before doing so, as if her performance the night before hadn't been strange enough. Everything made me so curious, especially when Mum didn't return that night. I panicked and dashed to Barasa with the news.
My mum hasn't been back all day, Barasa. I think something happened to her.
I've got this. I'll rally some villagers and search the town for her. It's a small town. She can't be far.
I joined the villagers in their search. As we ransacked the forest, I felt a hard object under my foot. I picked it up and found that it was an ID with Mom's passport. Her name on it was Nuella Smith, which was different from the Jennifer Howard everyone knew her as. Mom was hiding something, and I could feel it. I noticed a movement to my right and quickly hid the ID in my pocket before turning around to see Barasa emerge from the bushes with a solemn expression.
I'm sorry, Alicia, but we couldn't find your mom. Footprints in the soil suggest she might have run away.
I gulped and turned away from Barasa as my eyes watered with tears. I couldn't believe my mom had left me. After that day, life on the farm felt different without mom. I had planned to leave as well, but Barasa persuaded me to stay.
You don't have to leave, Alicia. I'll be inheriting the farm in a few years. And by then, I could marry you, and we could live happily ever after. I mean, that's if you want.
Hearing Barasa say those words made me feel a bit queasy.
Of course that's what I want, Barasa. But is that what you want?
He gripped my chin and stared at me with such intensity that it made my stomach churn.
That's what I've always wanted, Alicia. I've been in love with you since we were kids.
I'm in love with you too, Barasa.
Barasa kissed me and fireworks went off in my head. 3 days later, I was in the coop feeding the chickens when Barasa walked in with a sad look on his face.
Alicia, I have something to tell you. I'll be leaving to boarding school this week. Dad enrolled me in one yesterday.
Sadness enveloped my entire body as I hugged Barasa.
But what about our promise?
Don't worry. I'll never forget. Your heart and mine are locked forever.
The next morning, Barasa left the farm and we waved at each other with a secret look on our faces, promising to always return to each other. I carried on without Barasa on the farm, even if I constantly continued to feel the lack of his and Mum's presence. The only thing that kept me going was his promise to me. Time passed, and 2 years later, news of Barasa's return spread like wildfire.
I heard Chief Mwangi's son will be returning today, and he's now a very handsome man. The girls won't know what hit them.
I gave the woman a small smile before hurrying home with the vegetables I had purchased. Chief Mwangi was throwing a big party to celebrate Barasa's return, and I couldn't wait to see him. As soon as I arrived at the mansion, I noticed cars parked all around it. I walked around looking for him when I noticed him kissing a girl on the patio. Many people surrounded him, applauding and yelling.
Happy engagement!
Thank you all. Angela is the prettiest woman I have ever met in my life.
My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. In disappointment, I tossed the market bags to the ground and fled the scene. Barasa, like Mum, had lied to me. I had no one but myself to rely on. I dashed to the cherry tree Mum mentioned years ago and dug furiously at the soil beside it until my hands hit something. It was a treasure box with a lot of money inside. I quickly packed my bags and left with the treasure chest without telling anyone. I flew to America and began a new life there. Mum's money supported me for years, and I used some of it to start a small agricultural business that grew into something big. I became one of the world's youngest billionaires and the proud owner of Aulis, a food technology firm. One day, I was on my way to work when a woman bumped into me.
Hey, watch where you're going.
She turned around and I was surprised to see...
Mum?
Hey, pretty lady. Please, I need a job. I can be your personal maid. Here's my CV.
Security suddenly showed up to drag her away.
Sorry, ma'am. This crazy lady escaped us. We'll take care of her.
No, leave her. I'll take care of her.
I took Mum to my office and asked her a lot of questions.
Why did you leave me alone on the farm all those years ago?
Huh? I don't know you.
She couldn't answer any of my questions, and the worst of it all was that she couldn't even recognize me. I took her to the hospital, hoping they could fix her memory issue.
I'm afraid there's nothing we can do for your mother. She needs something to trigger her memory. Maybe an impactful event from her past.
I tried everything to trigger Mum's memory. I showed her old photos of us together.
That looks like me.
Took her to a farm, even showed her the ID she dropped all those years ago. Yet, Mum couldn't recognize me. I gave up and settled on taking care of her instead. The stress of caring for Mom and the company took a toll on me, so I took some time off and went horse riding constantly. And one day, I saw Barasa and his wife. She was yelling at him right in the middle of the parking lot.
I'm filing for a divorce right away!
I was about to ignore them when she raised her arm to slap him, and I couldn't help but swoop in and grab her arm.
That's enough! I won't let you assault someone on my property. And who do you think you are?
Alessia, Barasa's old friend and owner of the parking lot you're standing on.
Of course you're his friend! You both look pathetic!
She flung her arm out of my grip and walked away with a menacing look at Barasa.
Expect divorce papers and my lawyer!
When Angela left, Barasa looked at me.
Wow, you've grown and changed so much, Alicia.
I wasn't going to remain a servant forever. Barasa had also changed since the last time I saw him, and seeing him now, I realized I no longer cared about him. There was no trace of the love I felt all those years ago.
Alicia, about what you saw years ago, Dad forced me to marry Angela as a business transaction. He wanted a deal with her dad. It was nothing serious.
I don't care, Barasa. I'm sorry about what your dad did, but I think it's best we move on. I've moved on. You should too.
I won't give up on you, Alicia. No matter what it takes, I'll do anything to prove that I still love you.
I pulled my arm out of his and walked away. I wasn't letting him back into my life. The next day, I was sitting on the couch watching some STA videos on TV when I heard a knock on my door. I went to see who it was and was surprised to see Barasa standing right on my porch with a bouquet of flowers in his hand.
Hey there, thought I'd pay you a visit.
How did you find my place?
I asked around. Would you let me come in?
Fine. Make yourself at home.
Thank you. Your place looks absolutely beautiful.
While we talked and caught up on the past, Mom walked in.
Hey, Mom. Meet my friend, Barasa. You remember him, right?
She gave him a strange look, then approached him and sniffed his scent like a dog. Her pupils dilated and she pointed at Barasa.
I know that smell. My memory's suddenly coming back to me.
I knew I should be relieved that Mom's memory had returned, but I was offended. I was her daughter, and she couldn't even recognize me. But then she remembered Barasa, whom she didn't even like. She was also acting strangely and scaring Barasa.
Hey, Mom, that's enough.
No, Alessia, that boy and his father are criminals.
That's a lie. You're a crazy woman.
I remember everything. I was a CIA agent undercover on their farm gathering intelligence on their crimes. They found out and tried to capture me, but I escaped. I fell and hit my head as I ran away from them, and I couldn't remember much else except that some nice people helped me.
Wow, that's a lot. Are you sure, Mom?
Yes, honey. It's why I wanted us to leave the farm. But Barasa and his father were threatening to take you away from me. I couldn't tell you because I didn't want to get you in trouble.
Everything Mom said shocked me to the bones, and I stared at Barasa, who avoided my gaze.
Is this all true?
She's lying. Can't you see? She left you, and I took care of you.
No, you didn't. You only wanted her to trust you so you could turn her against me.
What? I'm sorry, Alicia, but your mom is going crazy. I'm just going to leave you with Miss Loco here.
Suddenly, Barasa sped for the door, and Mom leapt in the air and karate chopped him to the floor. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I never knew Mom had such skills.
I've gathered enough intel on you and your father. You're not going anywhere.
She rang for someone, and minutes later, suited men in shade showed up to the house.
Thank you for your hard work, Noella. The president will reward you for doing a good job.
I strolled up to Barasa and gave him a resounding slap.
I can't believe you were only playing me. All that talk about love and you suddenly reappearing in my life? It all makes sense now.
Barasa's expression instantly shifted to anger, and he seemed nothing like the boy I knew all those years ago.
I wasn't playing you at first. I really liked you, but your mom had to go snooping around. Always keep your enemies closer, Dad says. And you and your mom are my enemies.
Good. I hope we stay that way. You're a jerk. Enjoy your time in jail.
I watched with a smirk as Barasa was dragged into the car and driven away. As soon as he left, I turned to Mom.
So, your name's Noella. I wish you had told me instead of keeping me in the dark.
It was for the best, honey. Again, I'm really sorry. I'll spend each day making it up to you.
I hope so.
I threw my arms around her in a hug, basking in the scent and warmth of her body, which I'd missed.
I've missed you so much, Mom. I was really scared you'd never remember me, and then when you did, I got mad that it only happened because of Barasa. I felt like you didn't love me.
Don't say that, baby. I love you. And as for my memory, I couldn't control it, but remembering you is the best thing to have ever happened to me. I've missed you too.
Mom and I stayed in the hug for several minutes until I remembered someone we hadn't spoken about.
What about Chief Monkey? What'll happen to him now?
I figure he's already heard about everything and is on the run. But we'll get him. He can't run forever.
You're super cool, Mom.
The next day, Mom was invited to the White House, where she received an award of recognition and excellence from the president. I couldn't have been prouder of her. You know, sometimes our parents did mean the best for us after all.
Hi, everyone. My name is Leslie. I live with my dad. He's a cop and controls my every move. My parents got divorced a few years ago, and I've been living with my mom all this time. However, she had to fly out of state for a year for work, and I had to move in with my dad, who lived in a small town. No, I love my dad, but the whole situation sucked. New town, new school and classmates, and a new life, because my dad is a strict man. My mom didn't let me do much either, of course, but my dad laid out his rules right away when I came to visit. No boys, no long walks, and no parties. Also no short dresses or skirts.
Honey, I work with criminals, and I know what they can do. I want you to be safe, and I don't want you getting involved with anyone, especially Johnson.
Who's Johnson?
He's your future classmate. I've already checked out all your new classmates. Johnson is a frequent visitor to my station, always getting into trouble. All he can do is fight and steal. Watch out for him. He's not your kind of crowd.
And when I saw this Johnson guy, I knew what my father was talking about. Dirty, unkept, very mean and arrogant.
Wow, we got a princess over here.
He gave me a cheeky smile. I was startled and immediately pepper sprayed him in the face because what my dad said about this guy really affected me.
Hey, is that how a princess greets people?
The troublemaker was indignant and covered his face with his hands. Everyone just laughed at him and gave me a thumbs up. I thought that such an unconventional introduction would help me avoid Johnson's attention. But after class, some guys grabbed me.
Hey doll, want to introduce yourself?
Leave me alone, I said, trying to get out of their grasp.
Why are you so boring? Come with us. Let's have some fun.
Hey, the lady said she didn't want to talk to you, said Johnson,
and he got into a fight with these guys. He quickly scattered them and then asked me if I was all right. I was really scared, but I was also shocked, which made me speechless for a moment. And then my dad showed up at the wrong time to pick me up. He saw me next to Johnson.
Hands off my daughter, Brandon,
my father said sternly.
Ah, so the princess is your daughter.
The boy smiled.
All I did was help her.
Don't go within a mile of her, understand? Or you'll spend the night at the station, behind bars.
I'd be happy to. I haven't been there for a whole week.
Brandon grinned. I couldn't even stand up for him, which made me feel insanely ashamed. At home, my dad told me again to stay away from Brandon and reminded me not to hang out with boys until college. Otherwise, my schoolwork would suffer, and any boy who dares to go out with me would suffer too. I'm sure my dad was serious about it. It was really boring at home. I finished all my homework. Dad was watching baseball on TV. I couldn't go out. Besides, I didn't really have anyone to go out with, and I felt terribly lonely. I called my mother, but she couldn't talk to me for long because she was busy. In the morning, for the first time in years, I was excited to go to school. I found Brandon and thanked him for rescuing me yesterday.
The best thank you is if I could copy your homework, he said.
I didn't care, so I gave him my notebook. I noticed, however, that Brandon was having trouble reading. Are you a bad reader? I asked him.
Yes,
he admitted and blushed. Don't you like books?
I don't have time to read. I'm busy surviving.
Is there a desert island around here? I joked.
I don't have a home, Brandon answered calmly. My parents abandoned me, and I ran away from the orphanage a long time ago. They weren't treating me well.
My heart sank, and in a rush of emotion, I hugged Brandon. I started rambling about how I didn't know about his situation, and that I was sorry that this happened to him. And Brandon responded with a smile, saying that it was okay. I looked at him from a different perspective. He has no parents. Nobody cares about him. That's why he's acting like this. Maybe he's trying to get in trouble on purpose to spend the night at Dad's station, because it's warmer there after all. I told my dad about it. He said he knew perfectly well that Johnson didn't have a home or parents.
But what bothers me more is that you started hanging out with him. Leslie, what did I tell you? He'll screw you over. You'll cry over him.
I agreed with Dad and started avoiding Brandon, even though it was really hard. The guy kept calling me princess, which I loved, and tried to start a conversation. I couldn't resist, and we started chatting in secret. After school, I'd go to the town library, where Brandon would come and I'd teach him how to read and write. And in order to get him to practice more often, I gave him my old phone, and now we text every night. I told Brandon that my dad controlled everything, even my texts, so I had to delete them. My new friend called him the dragon, who holds the beautiful princess captive. Well, that's partially true. And then Brandon asked me out. Dad was on the night shift, so I said yes. He took me to the park, where we could see the beautiful starry sky, and then he timidly took my hand. I blushed. My heart stopped for a second, but I didn't take my hand away. I never held hands with a guy before in my life. Suddenly, however, we were blinded by headlights.
Leslie, what's going on? Why aren't you home? And what's Johnson doing next to you?
We were just taking a walk, I mumbled.
Get in the car, and you're going to spend the night in jail, you little shit.
Gladly. Brandon smiled and winked at me. At the station, in his office, my father decided to have a serious talk with me. He decided to tighten his control, so he assigned a young intern to me, Rick. Now he had to watch my every move. I freaked out and went home. In the morning, I walked to school accompanied by Rick. The intern was sympathetic, but he couldn't help but obey my father's orders. I was embarrassed walking around the school with a cop. The kids were looking at me sideways. Everyone avoided me. Well, I'll never make any friends here now, and I don't think Brandon is gonna talk to me after last night. But once Brandon was out on the street, he texted me right away. I told him about my situation and the cop controlling my every move. Brandon promised to do something about it. And in the evening, when my father went to bed, someone knocked on my window. When I opened the curtains, I saw Brandon. I immediately let the guy in the room. You're crazy, I said quietly with a smile. Dad is home.
Yeah, but he goes to bed at the same time. I noticed that a long time ago, being at the station. Besides, I don't want my princess to get bored.
I chatted quietly with Brandon. I went on to teach him. And then my friend confessed that no one had ever treated him with such kindness before, and he wasn't even comfortable accepting my help at first.
Usually everyone avoids me because I'm the school's biggest troublemaker. Princesses like you just look at me with contempt. And you, Leslie, are not like that. You're very kind.
He took my hand again, and I couldn't resist kissing him on the cheek. We texted in class, and after school, we continued texting each other. Dad calmed down and finally got Rick off my back. He also noticed that Johnson hadn't been in a station in a long time. Meanwhile, I helped Brandon get a job at the car wash. You don't have to steal anymore to survive. My dad's friend works here. I made a deal with him. Your shifts will start after school.
Thank you, Princess. You're a real lifesaver.
A few days later, my dad told me he saw Brandon at the car wash. He was surprised because the kid was finally doing something right and started making money. I was pleased. Maybe Dad would let us hang out. I secretly brought lunches to Brandon at work, and unfortunately, Dad's friend reported it to Dad. He confronted me in front of Brandon, but my friend stood up for me.
Your control has turned Leslie into an uptight girl. She has no friends at all because of your intern, who's been following her around. Everybody's avoiding her now. Not up to you, Johnson, to decide how she lives her life. I'm her father, and I know best. You get on with your work and your life.
Daddy asked Rick to keep an eye on me again. Only now I couldn't go anywhere after school, so I had to stay home all day. Brandon would come over in the evenings, but his visits became rare because of his night job. He wanted to get a flat so he could stop looking for a place to stay every night. And then one evening, while Brandon was visiting me, my father suddenly woke up. He had an emergency at work, so he came in to let me know. He was furious when he saw Brandon and told me I was moving back with my mother and I will never see this troublemaker again. Daddy, no, please! I almost begged.
I said it all, Leslie.
He took Brandon out of my room and drove him to the station. The next day, I was sitting on an airplane, crying. I loved hanging out with Brandon. I really liked him, too. It was going to be hard for him to be without me. I mean, he had no friends and no support at all. My father told my mother, and she agreed with the punishment. She didn't want me getting involved with homeless troublemakers either. However, Brandon and I continued to text each other anyway. He told me he was having a hard time without me, and I told him I was bored without him. Sometimes we'd turn on the camera, and we'd go for walks like that. I knew I wouldn't see Brandon for a long time or ever, because we were separated by a few thousand miles. But I hoped that in a year, things would get better, because my mom and I would be back home, and I wouldn't be so far away from Brandon. But things didn't go according to plan, because mom was offered a permanent job. And of course, she said yes. I was devastated that I would never see Brandon again. He really stole my heart and soul. Several months had passed. Brandon hadn't returned my calls or messages for a week. I realized that he was bored communicating this way and must have found someone else. But then one day, someone knocked on our door. And when I opened it, I couldn't help but shout with joy. I immediately threw myself into Brandon's arms.
My princess, I missed you so much.
Me too. He said he'd been saving up since I left because he couldn't bear to be away from me. Brandon said he was going to live in this town now, to be close to me. My mother was against our relationship, and she and my father tried to convince me not to waste my time with Brandon. But he soon proved to them that he had changed, and my parents said we could see each other. Are your parents strict too? Write your answers in the comments. I'd love to read them. Bye!
I am Iris, and I'm the most popular girl in school. I'm beautiful and talented, and I have a good figure. But I still don't have a boyfriend. And that's because I'm allergic to kissing. But I'm hiding it carefully. The doctors don't know what it is. Any kiss just makes my lips swell up like dumplings. I can't even go out with boys, even though I have a lot of admirers. And so, everyone thinks I'm an arrogant, stuck-up... Ugh, and how am I supposed to value my personal life like this? Only my friend Emma knows about my secret. By the way, she's pretty popular with guys too, and she's already dating another guy on the soccer team. They're constantly going on dates, kissing around every corner, and spending a lot of time together. I am so jealous of them. What did you think? I want to have a boyfriend and all that romantic stuff too. It all started when I was a kid. When I turned 10, I had a crush on my classmate, Sean. He was so cool. He walked me home every day, and then one day, he decided to kiss me. Now imagine kissing a girl and her lips swell up in front of your eyes like they've been filled with air, like balloons. Out of fear, Sean ran away and never came near me again. Then it happened again at 12 with Aaron, at 15 with Ben. I only know about French kissing from Emma's stories, and I realized I'd be single for the rest of my life. Who wants to date a girl you can't even kiss? My mom took me to so many doctors, but they just kept throwing up their hands. No one could understand my body's reaction. Because of this, I try to stay away from boys at school. I didn't want anyone to find out my secret and make fun of me. That Iris thinks she's a queen. No one is worthy of her. She'll end up alone like an old maid. That's what I heard behind my back, but it was better than humiliating jokes about my lips. Iris, you won't believe this. A new kid is transferring to our school. If you talk about it with such enthusiasm, it must be someone interesting. Oh yes, he's so cool. If you hadn't skipped school yesterday, you would have seen him for yourself. I didn't skip school. I was at the doctor's. You know that. Come on, I'm waiting for the details. You'll see for yourself. He's an Apollo on a cool bike. I met Emma outside school as usual. I immediately noticed that it was unusually noisy and lively. Look, it seems like the whole school is waiting for him to show up. And then I saw a steep motorcycle pull in, driven by a man, all dressed in black leather and wearing a shiny black helmet. The roar of his engine drowned out everything around him. He parked the bike in the parking lot and took off his helmet. Oh God, he was the most handsome guy I'd ever seen. Black hair and blue eyes. What an interesting combination. Everyone in the schoolyard went silent. The guys were looking at him with envy and the girls were drooling over him. He started walking past me and Emma, and I pretended to be completely uninterested in him. I turned around to go inside, and what do you think happened? I tripped and started falling. All I could do was close my eyes, My whole life flashed before my eyes, but I didn't fall. I didn't fall to the ground. I landed right in the arms of the new guy. I just felt the stares on my skin. Oops, sorry.
That's an interesting way to get acquainted, the guy said grudgingly.
You think too much of yourself. Don't flatter yourself.
Okay.
And he just spread his arms and I flopped down on the ground. Hey, are you out of your mind?
It would do you good to land a little.
With a laugh, the rude guy walked into the hall, and I was left all red with anger. How dare he? Who acts like that to a girl?
I'm gonna get him.
It was the most embarrassing thing I'd experienced in a long time. Still panting with anger, I entered the classroom, and I saw him at the next desk. He was introduced to the class as Jack O'Malley. He'd recently moved to our small town. His mom got a job at the local hospital. And I, as class president, was assigned to help him get his books. In fact, as our teacher, Mr. Elvin, said,
"Help him adjust to the new place and make friends."
What friends? You could tell right away he was a mean guy.
All right, I'll show you around. You'll have to get your books from the library first.
You must be a nerd, huh? If you're supposed to babysit me.
I'm not a nerd. I'm the class president. And yes, I'm a good student, too.
And you can't be too modest.
Look, I know we didn't get to know each other, but I don't want to waste my time with you either. So let me just show you around and say goodbye.
Oh, and the headmistress is offended. Well, you can go about your business. I'll take care of myself.
That's good. So I turned around and went to the schoolyard, where Emma and I agreed to meet. Ugh, this new guy was so annoying. Emma was already waiting for me. When she saw my face and my gait, she knew right away that I wasn't happy about something. I told her that the boar was going to be in my class and that I was going to have to babysit him for a while. The whole day I was so angry that everything just fell out of my hands. Class was over, and Emma and I went out into the yard again. Suddenly, I heard the loud roar of an engine. The jerk's bike was coming right at me. I shrieked, and the bike stopped just a few inches away from me. I was so freaked out, and that ignorant Jack was just laughing. I felt horribly hurt and looked at him angrily, and I didn't notice the tears running down my cheeks. Jack's face changed right away. He got off his bike and came over to me.
Were you scared? I'm sorry.
Fuck you, you jerk! Iris, that's not polite. He said he was sorry. I don't care. And I ran away. It was the most embarrassing thing that had ever happened to me. Jack caught up with me on the way home. He called out to me, but I pretended not to hear him. He then blocked my way and apologized. He said he was just trying to be funny, and he didn't think I'd be that scared. He looked very guilty. Of course, I felt sorry for him, and we called a truce. After that, we started spending a lot of time together. Jack wasn't doing so well in school. I offered to help him and start pulling him up on subjects. Because Jack and I talked a lot and became friends, Emma asked me to introduce her to him. I knew she had her eye on him. I really didn't want them to be together, but I couldn't say no to her either. Jack, listen, you remember my friend Emma, right?
Oh yeah. Isn't she the one who was always with you until I showed up? Haha.
Ugh, you're so cocky. Yeah, that's the one. Anyway, why don't I introduce you?
Why not? I'd be glad to get to know your friend.
I was kind of hurt by his words, but I didn't show it. We agreed to meet at a coffee shop near the school. When Jack and I arrived, Emma was already sitting at a table waiting for us. My friend waved at us and indicated our seats. I sat across from her, and Emma pulled Jack to her and sat him down next to her. Throughout the evening, I sat and watched as she flirted with my friend, making eyes at him and getting all the attention she could. It must have been obvious that I didn't like it. Jack felt very uncomfortable, but he couldn't leave. It wouldn't have been pretty. Eventually, my patience ran out and I just got up from the table.
Emma, you're too pushy. I feel like you're pushing Jack around.
Oh, come on, Iris. We're getting along very well, aren't we, Jack?
Jack sat silent and stared into his glass. I freaked out and left, and he ran after me. Naturally, Emma also jumped out after us. Jack caught up with me on the street.
What's wrong? It's okay. She's your friend.
Do you mean you like the way she's luring you in?
I didn't say that. I didn't send her away because she's your friend and I didn't want to hurt her feelings.
I thought you seemed to enjoy her company.
Wait a minute. Are you jealous? Jack asked with a smile on his face.
Before I could answer, Emma came running over.
Guys, what's wrong? Iris, if you wanted to go home, you could have left normally and not spoiled the mood for all of us.
I opened my mouth in surprise. I wanted to answer, but I just couldn't find the right words. Then Jack intervened. He took Emma aside and told her something. I could see her face change. Was it shock? Surprise? Anger?
She threw something angrily over her shoulder and walked away.
I stood there, unable to comprehend what had just happened. Jack came up to me in a dazed sort of way. He took my hand and led me to his bike. I asked him what Emma had told him, but he said nothing.
He also didn't say anything when he put my helmet on, didn't say anything when we got on the handlebars, and didn't say anything the whole way to my house.
Already at home, I decided I had to find out everything. I had no intention of backing down.
Jack, answer me.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't care. What did Emma say, and what's going on anyway?
Jack took my hand.
Iris, is there anything you want to tell me?
What are you talking about?
When I took Emma outside the cafe, I told her that I liked you, and that I wasn't considering her to be my girlfriend. She said I'd still change my mind when you revealed your secret.
I went pale. I got dizzy. How could that be? Emma was an old friend of mine. She wouldn't tell my secret.
I covered my face with my hands and cried. From resentment, betrayal, and fear that I might lose Jack forever. Well, there was no way out. I had to tell Jack. I couldn't keep it to myself forever. After I told him, it surprised me when Jack pulled me to him, hugged me, and said the most cherished words.
Iris, I like you, and it doesn't bother me that you're allergic to kissing. It's nice and easy for me to just hold you and always be near you. You will let me do that, won't you?
I like you too, but I was afraid to tell you my secret. I thought it would repel you and you'd stop looking at me as a girl.
By the way, Emma and I haven't spoken since then. She called and apologized, though. She said Jack had hurt her and she was just jealous of me. That's the only reason she let my secret out. I forgave her, of course, but I limited our communication as much as possible. And Jack and I are fine. And by the way, he and I did kiss. Jack found me a good doctor who prescribed me strong anti-allergy medication. And now I can live a normal life, like the other girls.
Share this podcast to all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and so on, and you'll be given a shout out. Also drop your social media username so that we can find you. Thanks for your support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in this episode description. You should also please follow or subscribe to our other podcast My Animated Story by clicking on this episode description. And also, kindly please rate and review this podcast. Bye.
I wonder what's taking Valerie so long. She's been in that changing room for ages. Valerie? Is everything okay in there? Don't force it if it doesn't fit. No, this is the last dress in store. I just need to breathe in for a bit longer. So? It's beautiful, isn't it? Valerie spun around. Then suddenly... Yep. Trying to squeeze into a dress two sizes too small for her, then it split. The giggles around us started. Valerie blushed, hurriedly paid for the dress, and pulled me out of the shop. Why am I so fat? Ugh! I I just want to feel pretty on my date. If I was skinny like you, I wouldn't have this problem. Poof! You know, it's not as easy as you think, being thin. Yep, you heard me right. Being thin has its downsides. First of all, fashion. My nightmare! I have to wear an extra small size, and the clothes still hang off me. Actually, most of my clothes are from kids' stores, so I feel so untrendy. Then in winter, I have to wear tons of layers just so I don't freeze to death. And in the summer, I can't wear cute clothes as I look like a coat hanger. Not only that, because I'm so skinny, people often ask me to do nonsense stuff. Once, I was studying in my room when suddenly I heard my sister Camilla calling me. She'd forgotten her keys and forced me to climb through her tiny window gap to get them. Seriously, I can't even! Then, on another occasion, Valerie made me crawl into the classroom locker to help her cheat on her Spanish test. Unfortunately, the teacher walked in while this was happening and gave me a week's worth of detentions, of course. Ugh! Oh my god, No Way Home is so good! I literally can't think of one bad thing to say about it! Yep, the part near the end? Ah! Yep, guess what? I'd managed to trap my foot in a manhole! Man, what rotten luck! I tried pulling my leg free, but it was no use. It wouldn't budge. There I was, freaking out that I'd be stuck here forever, and all my friends could do was huddle together and ask me questions like, "Madeline, how on earth did you get your foot in such a small slot?" Wow, that's unbelievable! Even Jaden, my bookworm friend, took out a ruler from his backpack and started measuring how wide the slot was. Grr. My dear friends, I'm being stuck down here. Stop gawping and help me! Finally, they tried helping me out, but in the end, we had to call the rescue squad. By this point, a massive crowd had gathered around me and strangers were filming me. When I was finally free, everyone looked at me and held back their laughter. Even Parker, my crush, was smiling. Jeez, this was beyond embarrassing. But a hot guy like Parker would never notice a moving skeleton like me anyway. Don't think like that, Maddie. You're so pretty. Show me some confidence, would you? Valerie said as she nudged my arm. I put the book down and glared at her, and suddenly noticed Parker walking towards our table, smiling. And yep, he said he wanted to sit with us. Even though I was cheering inside of my head, I still had to act composed. And oh my god, can you believe he even said I was cute? After that day, Valerie kept on encouraging me, saying he had definitely given me a green light. So finally, I gathered my courage to write down all my feelings for Parker on a note and clipped it to his notebook. At the end of class that day, he came to my desk and took my hand. Yay! Everything was fine, great even, until one day, when the two of us were taking a romantic walk past the Swan Lake, Parker suddenly turned to me and said,
"You're so beautiful, Maddie. And if you just put on a few more pounds, I swear you'll be the hottest girl at school."
Yes, I know, but it's hard for me to gain weight.
No big deal. Just leave it to me. I'll fatten you up.
I thought Parker was just joking, but it turns out he was being deadly serious. Since that day, every time we went on a date, instead of taking me to the bowling alley and movies as usual, Parker would take me out to eat. I swear, I've tried all the restaurants in our town. More surprisingly, on my birthday, Parker even gave me a bouquet of fried chicken. How romantic! But this didn't change anything, as my weight still stayed the same. Parker was disappointed when he peered over me and saw the scales hadn't budged. Then he sighed out,
"How come you and Valerie are friends but look totally opposite? Here comes our adorable chubby Valerie."
What? Parker called Valerie adorable again. This wasn't the first time either. Annoyed, I put down my fork and walked away from them. After that, I started avoiding Valerie. I did homework with other friends, sat with other girls at lunch, and every time I happened to see Valerie, I turned around and walked away. Honestly, I didn't want it to be this way, but just seeing her made me uncomfortable. But I couldn't bear to see my boyfriend call my BFF cute, while he thought I was too skinny. Then summer break finally rolled around. I thought it'd be just me and Parker, but then he went off to a summer camp in Spain. The plan was all ruined. So I spent a whole sunny day inside sulking. What's wrong? Are you bored because your lover is away? So why don't you take this time to surprise him when he returns? Surprise? A great idea popped into my head. But how do I get chubby? Easy peasy. Okay, if it's that easy, then show me. Okay, if you do my summer homework for me. What? She's such an opportunist. But I really wanted to pile on the pounds and please Parker. So, without hesitation, I nodded in agreement. So, from that day on, I started following Camilla's weight gain plan. I switched veggies for greasy foods, and my main meal was always late at night. I also changed water for milkshakes, but I did have to stop drinking them when the smell of milk alone made me feel sick. Seeing me eating crazy like that, my parents worriedly said, "Madeline, eating healthily is important, else your health will be affected." But I ignored their advice. This time, I definitely had to gain weight. Finally, after a month of trying, I gained some weight. Yay! I looked a lot more attractive now, didn't I? I was studying myself in the mirror when I heard my phone beep. It was Parker. He was coming over tomorrow with a present for me. The next day, I put on this hot dress that I'd never felt confident enough to wear before, and I asked Camilla to help me do my makeup. As soon as I finished, I eagerly waited for Parker in the living room. The doorbell rang. I excitedly opened the door, but as soon as he saw me, Parker quickly said,
"Oh, sorry. I have the wrong house."
Then he started to leave. Huh? He didn't recognize me? This will be fun. No, honey, you're not mistaken. It's me. Your destiny.
Madeline? Is that really you? Oh my, how on earth can you be this big? We've only been apart for a month.
So, you don't think I'm prettier now? To my surprise, Parker shook his head.
No, no, you're so fat now, it doesn't look okay. Lose some weight.
Huh? This was so confusing. I thought he wanted me to be bigger. As annoying as this was, I still listened to Parker and tried to lose the weight I'd put on. So, it turns out that losing weight is far trickier than it sounds. Actually, it's a million times harder to lose it than it is to gain it. After a month of healthy eating and exercise, I gained another pound! Ugh!
Stop eating that! Are you giving up already? You must try harder.
What? It's just some popcorn. Why does he have to be so rude about this?
I'll give you 2 weeks to lose weight, else we're done.
Huh? What did he just say? Done? He was the one who wanted me to gain weight in the first place. Now he was threatening to break up with me if I didn't lose it. How ridiculous. You know what? I don't need 2 weeks. Let's end it right now. It's clear you never loved me at all. You only like my appearance. If you truly cared about me, you wouldn't care what size I was. Then I walked off. Ugh, how could I have been so stupid? For the entirety of my relationship with that jerk Parker, I was blindly following him. I only cared about pleasing him, and it cost me so many things, including my best friend. I needed to apologize to her right away. I nervously knocked on the door, then waited. Finally, Valerie opened it. But on seeing me, she went to shut it. I'm so sorry. Just let me explain, please. Valerie, I'm so sorry. It was all because I was afraid Parker would leave me for you. But I realize now that he's a massive jerk, and I was an idiot for ever trying to change for him. Jeez, you're crazy. Parker is totally not my type. I scratched my head and told her about how terrible Parker had treated me and how I'd foolishly listened to him. Man, that douchebag! Then she hugged me. Valerie confessed to me that she'd been trying to lose weight by lowering her calorie intake, but the pounds weren't coming off. And worse still, she felt weak and tired all the time. I nodded in agreement with her. So, from then on, Valerie and I made a promise to love ourselves, regardless of what size we were, and to never let anyone try and change us. And look, that's Walker and Joel, our awesome boyfriends who love us just the way we are. And you know what? It feels so good not caring what other people think. So, don't ever let idiots put you down. 'Cause when you allow yourself to just be you, then you can finally realize just how beautiful you truly are.
Share this podcast to all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook and so on, and you'll be given a shout out. Also drop your social media username so that we can find you. Thanks for your support. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in this episode description. You should also please follow or subscribe to our other podcast My Animated Story by clicking on this episode description. And also, kindly please rate and review this podcast. Bye.